you know, because guys have been like, hey, Holmes, you know, can you guys make the fine lines?
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Wednesday, which means the first half hour will be dedicated to science for humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, in just a moment. And then the second interview, we're going to tell you how you can become part of the new glyphosate study. That's right. You can be part of it. My audience is being invited. And we'll talk to Larry Bolin about that a little bit later in the show. But first, I have to pay homage to All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports for being our generous title sponsor. Right now, you can get six of their top-selling products absolutely free by visiting my website, superhumanradio.net, clicking the banner ad. You'll pay about $5 in chain shipping and handling, and you'll get six of their top-selling products because Dr. Jeff believes you should never buy a product before you've tried it. He puts his money where his mouth is, and you benefit from that. So check that out, and here we go.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
How you doing, Dr. Jeff?
I'm doing good. How about you, Carl?
Wonderful. Wonderful. We've talked about childhood obesity quite often on this show, and because it's really quite important. Because if we can nip obesity in the bud, so to speak, when they're children, then they go on to have fantastic lives. Obese children tend to have lots of problems later on in life as well. And, you know, when you and I were growing up, that's when the whole childhood obesity stuff started, because the previous generation, there were no obese children at all. So it's really interesting to look at this discussion. So you found this study. It's very, very interesting. It looks at boys and girls, and apparently something different's going on, huh?
It does. You know, this gets into psychology. I'm trying to remember back to my psychology days, but they talk about self-regulation, which is emotionally. It's basically the ability to respond to some type of demand. They call it a demand of experience, with the range of emotions, and then how you socially tolerate that, you know, how that becomes some spontaneous reaction. So again, it's all about, this study seemed to be about how boys and girls are different from this emotional or self-regulation standpoint. And then that they predicted, based on their study evidence, you know, who was going to gain more weight, basically, you know, who was going to be obese.
And it was the girls, right? I mean, the girls lost that battle, right?
No, actually, they said the boys were prone to be more obese than
okay.
The girls. 19.2%. Now, again, this is at age 5.5 years old. I don't know how they got 5.5 years old, but 19.2% of the boys compared to 16.5% of the girls. So not a big, big difference.
But now let me ask you a question. So the ages of these children were from 24 months to 5 years old, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Are you self-selecting food at 5 years old, or is your mom and dad still feeding you?
You know, exactly. And that's what I was thinking about. You know,
Dr. J, how many five-year-olds are going to the fridge, taking out the box of Hot Pockets, putting them in a microwave? I mean, I'm sure there's some, but aren't we dependent on our parents at that point in time for how frequently we eat and what we eat?
Well, not according to some psychiatrists. Aren't we supposed to ask a baby if we can change them and stuff?
Oh, dude, let's not even go down that rabbit hole.
so maybe they are pointing to what they want to eat. I don't know. But you know what? This is an interesting thing because you mentioned when we were kids. Compared back then to the obesity level compared to today, I'm going to tell you one reason why I think kids are more obese today is mothers aren't breastfeeding. as long as they used to be.
Mm.
Back in our day, I mean, gosh, toddlers were still nipping the nip, you know?
Right, right.
You know, you look at the junk that are in most of these infant formulas because that's what the government regulates. You know, all infant powders are regulated by the government. They have what has to be in there and what amounts. And I'm sorry, it's not breast milk. You
right.
know, using corn syrup solids and, you know, pure lactose, I mean, that's not the same as what's in breast milk. And with parents, you know, being busy, not wanting to breastfeed, too much work, too much hassle, you know, they are getting them on these processed foods a lot quicker than they were 40, 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then I think the other thing is, and you and I have talked about this, right? Obese parents
yeah.
tend to raise obese children. They tend to. It's not a guarantee.
Yep.
You don't have to. I mean, there's lots of fit-looking parents who have obese children, too. But I think what we see here is something that's quite Italian, and that is food is love. And
yeah.
so I predict if you looked at the psychology of the parent and asked which parents feel like they don't spend enough time with their children, which parents feel like that they have some sense of, let's say, guilt, for lack of better terms,
right?
That then in turn overindulge their children with food because they want their kids to feel, oh yeah, go ahead, well, we're going to take you. Because I know parents that have young children who indulge their children in horrible sweet candies and donuts.
Mm.
And I've asked them, you know, what? That's just crap. Why do you give? Oh, they like it. I really think this comes down to not the children's ability to self-regulate, but what's going on in the parents' life that
yep.
makes them feel
yep.
like they have to over-reward the child with food.
Well, in this day and age, when we were kids, whatever was put before you, you had better eat it or you're going to go hungry.
Right.
Now, I mean, good gosh, I see these parents, they'll crack open something and the kid doesn't want it, so then they'll find something else until the kid wants it. Well, of course, once you introduce sugar, you know, into a child's diet, that's all they're going to want. I mean, there are some kids that literally eat candy all the time. I mean, I hear parents tell me, I can't get them to eat. All they want is candy. Well, what do? Well, I give it to them because, you know, they'll cry. Boo-hoo, let them go to bed hungry.
Yeah.
They're not going to die, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it is the parents. And, you know, a lot of times parents who are too fit don't have any time for their kids, so they're not monitoring. And that's why I think, you know, parents who are fit may have obese kids. And, again, there's all types of ailments and things that, you know,
well,
could
think
arise.
About this. If you're a parent that's very, very self-absorbed, you've got a career,
right.
you go to the gym, and then you come home and, you know, little Johnny and little Betty, they've been in school all day long, and you sit with them for a little while, and like, you know, hey, you know what? Let's go get pizza. It's like,
yeah.
you know, I've been out of their lives. Let's do something fun. Let's do something that shows love, and that's food.
Yeah. And what they need to do is do what we do as adults. You know, when my kids were small, they ate the same way we did, you know, as I did. I mean, we ate healthy food all week long, and, you know, we'd have a cheat on the weekend. So if they were going to have ice cream or something or frozen yogurt, it was a weekend thing. It wasn't a daily thing. You know, they were taught to eat foods for health benefits to make sure they got their protein, carbs, you know, fats that were good. But these type of foods weren't what they did every day. These were special things. And I've seen that kind of carry over. You know, none of them are obese. They've all been able to monitor their eating habits. But again, you know, kids who aren't monitored and are allowed to do what they want to do, they're going to go junk food. Our schools here, they allow kids to leave for lunch. And I think I told you this. One of the big schools right across the street is Little Caesar's Pizza. And on the other side is the gas station, you know, the 7-Eleven. Guess where kids go for lunch every day?
Yeah.
Pizza every single day. I mean, you know. And then they go over to the gas station. They have a soda. They get candy, you know. But this study, getting back, one thing I wanted to say about this is, you know, sometimes these things get so much into psychology and, you know, gender specifics and all that. And I was hoping they weren't going to go off into, you know, well, what happens if the kid doesn't know if he's a boy or a girl? Luckily, they didn't do that.
Oh, right. That's another thing. That's a good one. That totally messes up the statistics, doesn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, they're saying that. But one of the things they were saying is, and let's face it, you know, boys at 5.5, 6.5, 7, 8, 9, they could care less what they look like. It isn't until they get to that age that they start liking girls. Girls are conscious at a very young age of what they look like. So this study basically said girls become more stressed, and because of that stress, they had a tendency to basically metabolize more food. So I think that's what their whole justification was. It wasn't a very good study.
I don't think so. I think I got to be honest with you. I think the study is completely bogus, because if they would have said children 9 to 14, I would have said, yeah, because at that point in time, they're going to the fridge themselves. They're picking stuff out of the cupboard themselves. They're asking mom and dad for specific foods, and mom and dad's job is to say yes or no to those foods and either not have it in the house or have it in the house. Now you've got me. Now you got me interested. Now I'm going, oh, look at the trends and the tendencies of these children and what their request. But from 2.5 to 5 years old, you're not asking for anything. You're not asking for anything. You're being given food and you're eating it.
Yep.
So if the children are obese at that age, it's mom and dad's fault.
That is the parent. Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing: the last sentence in the study says this study was supported by a grant from the National Institutes of Health. And you've heard me say this before: is most of these universities, they get grants and they just crank out studies, whether they're good or bad, and somebody will publish it. So that's what happens is, you know, these places are giving the money to the wrong thing. I mean, this was really a weird study. It wasn't very well done. You know, to make a big conclusion about 19.2% to 16.3%, that's not a big difference. You know, and like you said, you know, they didn't put all the parameters in there. You know, nobody said anything about, well, it's the parents who are feeding the kids. It's not the kids, you know.
Right.
I don't believe the psychology has anything to do with
that. No, no. Little kids will eat snot at that age. You know what I mean? They eat their own boogers at that age. They're not selecting.
And what kid at 24 months old, I mean, a baby, what stress do they have other than change me, feed me, and pay attention to me?
Well, if you change your diaper when they don't want to change, that's pretty stressful, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Or you don't ask them if they can change it.
You know what? When Child Protective Services comes and they go, this child has such bad diaper rash, it looks like her diaper hasn't been changed in 2 weeks, and then the parent just has to go, yeah, but she didn't want it changed. So what am I supposed to do?
I've been waiting for her to tell me to put cream on, and she hasn't. So yeah.
I didn't want to invade her privacy and make her feel uncomfortable. We have to take a break from this silliness for a second, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what's going on with childhood obesity. Stay tuned. You're listening to Science for Humans here at Superhuman Radio. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous, signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body, crazy savings, insane results.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Science for Humans. You know, I want to pick up on something that you said a second ago about the National Institutes of Health. They get donations, they get contributions from industries. It's not all tax dollars. And the industries that donate money tell them exactly the types of studies they want to fund. They say, we want to fund positive studies about this. And so just because it comes from the NIH, don't misunderstand that as being, oh, that has a greater level of trust because there's no conflict of interest. There absolutely still can be. And the other thing is, the National Institutes of Health funds, let's say, 1,000 studies a month. And let's say of those studies, 700 actually come to a conclusion and get and end up being peer-reviewed. But the National Institute of Health will only publish 60 of them because the other ones didn't fit the outcomes they were looking for. This is a fact. If you don't believe it, do some research. In fact, there was a movement. We did a show probably about 5 years ago because there was a movement among scientists demanding that everything that the NIH publishes, anything that the NIH funds, be published because it's the right of the people to see that research because it's paid with predominantly tax dollars. The NIH is a government agency. And that movement got squashed very, very quickly because the NIH doesn't want to lose control of what research they allow out into the public domain.
Yeah, and I've had experience with NIH grants. I mean, that's why, you know, again, from the other side of the fence, you know, getting grants and dealing with grants, you see how this really works. So, you know, so was it a good study? Yeah, I mean, you know, the study was done probably well. You know, it really doesn't say a whole lot. It really doesn't address the whole obesity thing, but it was probably handpicked and hand-selected for their agenda.
I'm sorry, my mic was closed. I'm going to comment on it.
Oh, there we go.
I'm going to comment on it. I'm on MedPage Today's website now, and I'm going to say, you know, at this age, between 24 months and 5 years old, children are not choosing foods. They're being fed by their parents. If you want to blame obesity at that age on anybody, it's the parents. This is silliness, even wasting money on a study like this. Now, if they would have said, if they would have looked, as you pointed out, and done a psychographic study on the entire family and looked at the foods that were in the refrigerator before the study started and looked at the food that are available to the child and say, oh, children born into households where this occurs, these foods are present, and parents do this tend to be more obese. Now you got a study. Now you got something worth reading.
That would have been a very interesting study.
Right.
Yes.
This should have been a psychographic study. That's what it should have been. It should have looked at habits and trends, buying habits, what's in the cupboard, what's in the refrigerator, who goes to the gym, who doesn't. Because I'll bet you the children of parents who do train, especially if you took your children to the gym with you when they were young, I bet you that those children are more active. I'll bet anything on it. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. You know, my father told me not to smoke cigarettes. And when I was in high school, I started smoking cigarettes. Well, my father smoked cigarettes. Now, if my father didn't smoke, maybe him telling me not to smoke would have had greater impact. But I was like, he's telling me not to do something that he's doing. It must be pretty good.
You know, and it goes to the same as, you know, parents telling their kids to clean their rooms up and they don't clean up.
Yeah,
and, you
know,
again, kids. Yeah. Kids watch from a very, very young age. I mean, when they're infants, they're soaking in, man. They're like sponges, you know, and you can't tell a kid to do something that you don't do. Don't tell them to not drink when you drink. Don't tell them don't smoke when you smoke. I mean, why would you even tell them that?
Right.
If you're doing it, it must be okay.
Do as I do, not as I, no, do as I say, not as I do. Remember that when we were kids?
Well, exactly. And, you know, the other thing I hear all the time is, well, you know, I don't have as much money as rich people, so we can't eat healthy. That's a bunch of
there was a study just done that showed that it's actually less expensive to eat whole foods than to
it
to,
is
yeah.
It's more expensive for people to eat out. I agree, and a lot of times people with less money are eating out all the time.
Yes,
where if you learn how to cook and be at home, I'm sorry, rice, potatoes, pasta, cheap.
Well, you know what else too? If you are someone who has to go and fast food is your only choice, there are hacks that I've discovered that lots of people discovered. For instance, you know what I had today after my training, Dr. J?
What?
I had a pound and a half of beef. Now, granted, it wasn't grass-fed beef. It wasn't the best beef in the world. But for $8, I got six quarter-pound patties at Wendy's all by themselves. If you ask, if you go to Wendy's, if you go to McDonald's, if you go to Burger King, and tell them you want to order off of the a la carte menu, you can order three chicken breasts by themselves and nothing else.
Yep.
You can order
and
six.
And when I travel, you know, you do it because you got to pick up something in the airport. You know, I mean, you just can't carry as much food as you used to with not being able to carry ice packs. You can be selective. It isn't going to be the highest quality, like you said, grass-fed or organic, but it's healthy.
Right. It's better than the crap that you're going to eat and say, oh, well, I had no choice. Yeah.
Right.
You can go into a restaurant that supposedly doesn't have any of the foods that you like, and you can put a meal together if you order off the a la carte menu. I'll give you another example. My favorite Mexican restaurant, because I don't eat corn tortillas, I don't eat, you know, flour products or corn products. Mm-hmm. I don't eat beans, especially refried beans. And I eat limited amounts of rice. I like rice. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I go into my favorite Mexican restaurant. It's called El Mundo. They make the best carnitas in the world. You know, the fried pork.
Right.
So I order four a la carte carnitas, just the pork. They're $4 each. Each one of those is 6 ounces of pork.
Mm.
That's over a pound of pork I get, and I pay $16 for that. That's the same price I would pay for fajitas with all the crap and the beans, and I don't want all that stuff. I just want the pork.
Right, right.
You can get what you want anywhere you go if you order off the a la carte menu, and most of the waitresses and waiters know that they can give you a chicken breast by itself or a hamburger patty by itself. Just get wise and use that.
It's a little bit of smarts, man. And, you know, it comes down to, again, parents caring and, you know, taking responsibility for their kids. It's nothing sadder than to see when somebody overweight walks by. I mean, I just feel bad for them.
Yeah.
Now, it's their fault, but I just feel bad that, you know, they have to go through life. And then you look and they got 3-4 kids that are overweight, and it's just like, oh, my goodness, look what you did to those kids.
Yeah.
You know, just because you did it yourself, you couldn't, you know, try to help your kids get on the same path. They're going to have the same issues that you're having.
And that's sad. I see people who have autoimmune disorders, and I see their children already developing signs of them. And they don't get it. It's what you're eating. It's what you're eating. It's what you're feeding your kids.
It is.
So, what's new over at All American Pharmaceutical and EFX? Anything exciting going on?
Oh, yeah. You know, we got the limited edition Carbolin is out. It's a raspberry lemonade.
Mm.
And we only made 5,000 bottles. And they're only going to stores, small specialty stores, or you can get it at EFXSports.com. But we've got golden tickets. I've got a total of 5 golden tickets hidden, and some of them are up to $1,000 in cash.
This is like, so I told, this is like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right?
Yep, that's where I got the idea. I thought, that's kind of cool. So, but also, there's a way for you to get a free bottle. If you go to EFXSports.com, we've got 333-gram bottles that are free. That those also contain golden tickets. There's 5 tickets hidden in those bottles. So, you know, again, it's free. If you happen to buy a big bottle, you know, you have a chance just because you're using something good to win some money or prizes. If you want to just get one free, go check it out at EFXSports.com. Somewhere on there it talks about golden ticket. And it'll give you all the rules and how to send in an envelope to get a free bottle.
Can people find out who the small retailers, the boutique retailers that are carrying the special flavor are on the website?
You know, no. We're just asking you to go into your store. I mean, if they don't have it, tell them about it. And we're seeing that already. We just soft launched last week, and 25% of them are already gone. So word of mouth is getting out quite fast. And of course, because there's, you know, so many people across the country, that's why we put it on the EFX sports side. Plus, it's a 4.5 pounds, so it's a bonus size, and people are telling us that this is the best flavor ever. So again, you know, we may bring it back as a main product, but right now it's just kind of a limited edition summer flavor with a golden ticket for fun.
That is so cool. That's awesome. Lots of fun to have there. All right, well, listen, man. Don't overfeed your kids and blame it on their selection process.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
All right, brother.
That's it.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. All right.
And we are going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to invite you to join in a national glyphosate study. I'm going to do it. Elisa's going to do it. You should do it, too. Stay tuned. Whoever
never heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell. What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. You know, for those of you who have been devoted to this show for over a decade, you know that we've talked about glyphosate forever. And I want to choose my words correctly here because I don't want to be accused of being a fearmonger. We've had brilliant people like Dr. Stephanie Seneff from MIT, and we've had scientists from great land-grant universities like Washington State, and we've even had Dr. Anthony Samsel from the Arthur D. Little think tank come on our show and tell us about the potential dangers of glyphosate. And I have done my own little bit to contribute to this. When I found the patent for glyphosate combined with amoxicillin to be used as an antibiotic blend to treat certain issues in humans, I thought to myself, wait a minute, how could this be? Why would they put glyphosate, an herbicide, in with amoxicillin to be used as an antibiotic? And so when I started to do my research, I realized that glyphosate is actually a pretty effective antimicrobial. The difference between an antibiotic and antimicrobial is the duration of exposure and the dose. So theoretically, an antimicrobial can be an antibiotic if you take enough of it and you take it long enough. I went, wow, that's amazing, because we know already the harmful effects of overuse of antibiotics, and especially low-dose antibiotics. We know about this. I mean, this has been discussed ad infinitum by so many brilliant people today. Let's not forget the book Missing Microbes that talks about the trajectory of the human after the introduction of antibiotics. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying antibiotics are bad. They've improved lifespan for people who have gotten diseases that they would have died from before. That's not what I'm talking about. But getting antibiotics in your body day in and day out at low levels appears to damage the gut. It damages the diversity of the microbes, which leads to things like inflammatory diseases like IBS, and even regurgitative diseases like GERD. We know this. We know this. We know this. And for those of you who've paid attention, I glossed over a study about 4 years ago that showed that the circumference of people's waists are increasing even though they're not increasing fat mass. This is a distended stomach. You know, you can walk anywhere and spit and hit three people who look like they're moderately pregnant today. This is not normal for humans. That barrel-chested look that some women get, that distended stomach where guys have to pull their pants down lower around their hips instead of their waist because their stomach protrudes out, this is a problem. This is the outside part of something that's going wrong inside. This is the result of an inflammatory response from the esophagus to the anus. I'm telling you, I've done a lot of research into this because this is a key symptom of people who suffer from autoimmune disorders, a breaching of the gut wall. Things are getting into the bloodstream that look like harmful actors. The immune system goes after them, and while the immune system is going after it, it damages its own tissues and organs and so on. Autoimmune disorders are through the roof today. And I've racked my brain. You know, we are a physical culture community. We're bodybuilders and powerlifters and athletes, cyclists, and we live a different lifestyle than the average guy who works a 9-to-5, goes home, sits in front of the TV, goes to sleep, and wakes up again. Yet we all have OSA, obstructive sleep apnea, distended stomachs, GERD, silent GERD, autoimmune disorders, idiopathic neuropathy. They don't know where it's coming from. You're not diabetic, but your feet are getting numb and numb and numb. And I keep coming back to glyphosate. I keep coming back to glyphosate because it is now ubiquitous in our environment. Remember the blog post I did last year about glyphosate showing up in the cotton and tampons? Women are inserting glyphosate into their vaginas now. And let's not forget Germany's study. In the inner city, they found glyphosate in like 80% of breast milk that women were feeding their babies, and they didn't even live in the country. So glyphosate is absolutely unabashedly a problem. Whether you believe it's a known carcinogen, which the WHO has said it is, or whether you believe that it is an antibiotic, which it absolutely is, and nobody denies that, or if you believe Dr. Anthony Samsel that it's a synthetic form of glycine that gets incorporated into soft tissue and causes a phenomenon called amyloidosis, which is a fibrotic change in soft tissue. It's happening to people's hearts. It's happening to people's kidneys. It's happening to their organs because since it's a synthetic glycine, the body can't break it down and remove it like it does with regular glycine. And it just bioaccumulates. Regardless of whether you think those things or something else is going on, don't you want to know if you, especially if you spend the money to eat organic, do the things you think you're doing to stay out of the way, actually have glyphosate in your body? Well, there's a new study, and you can become part of it. My guest is Larry Bowen. Larry is with the Health Research Institute Lab. How you doing, Larry? Uh-oh. I think we lost Larry.
Girl?
No, you're there. Girl? You had I know what you did. You put me on speakerphone while I was talking, right? Okay.
I did. I hope the sound's good. Is it good for you?
I think you'd do better with the handset because there's a little bit of an echo.
Let's give that a try. How's that?
Oh man, sounds like you're sitting in the studio with me now.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, if I can use a pun here, you've done some heavy lifting on the topic of glyphosate.
Yes,
and I'm intrigued. You've provided your listeners with a lot of information on the potential health effects, and that's certainly what got me interested. And I'd like to share with you some of the preliminary results of our study.
Please.
That maybe would really be of benefit to your listeners, and then some of the open questions that we hope to answer with it. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, good. And just a little bit of background. You've had other people who are deeply accomplished in their fields. I just want to share with you my own background is I'm a former NASA engineer, and so I bring a technical eye to everything I do, and I crunch the numbers in the study, for instance. And then my partner and co-founder in my laboratory is a biochemist and a former cancer researcher at National Institutes of Health. So we bring those two disciplines together to try to provide the public with information, often on things that nobody else is able or sometimes interested in studying. Health Research Institute is a nonprofit laboratory. We set it up as a nonprofit to ensure maximum independence from any particular influence, you know, anything that might bias our research. I think that's important because a lot of times you have research that has a sponsor that's looking for a particular outcome. We're looking for the truth. We're looking for transparency. And it starts with measuring what's in people's bodies.
Yes. Yes.
So it's been fascinating. 1,400 people so far have enrolled in the study, getting their bodies tested. The test, by the way, it's a simple urine test. We ship out a collection kit. People mail a sample back, just regular U.S. Post. Oh, you'll find this interesting. We don't even have people refrigerate the urine sample. Glyphosate is such a stable molecule.
That's scary.
We've done a test. We sat glyphosate in a non-sterile urine sample, multiple samples, for over a year. Would you imagine that there was no degradation?
See, that's completely contrary to what the industry tells us. They tell us glyphosate has a very short half-life in soil, which isn't true. It's not true.
I haven't done the test on soil. I'd like to do that experiment. That'd be a good one to run, and again with an independent eye.
Do you know Howard Vlieger? Does that
yes, name? We've met. Mm-hmm.
Howard has done some research with a gal in Australia,
They looked
at it in soil, and it doesn't have a short half life at all. And in fact, not only does it not have a short half life, but when it does break down, it breaks down into something apparently even more harmful.
Ah, well, we measure for one of those things. AMPA is one of the metabolites or breakdown products of glyphosate. That is important to test because some scientists think it is more toxic than glyphosate. And the fact is, when you're eating foods that have glyphosate, almost always there's some AMPA in it too.
Interesting. So the people that you have tested so far, have they shown levels of glyphosate, even though do you have a questionnaire where you ask them, do you eat organic? And the problem with questionnaires, you and I both know, is that people overreport what they perceive as good behavior and underreport what they perceive as bad behavior. But do you ask them, do you buy organic, and you know, do you drink bottled water? Do you ask them any questions like that?
All those questions, yeah. It's about 30 questions total, and that helps us draw conclusions on the largest sources of exposure. Why don't we talk about the organic one? It has some surprising results. For instance, you might think that people who eat organically have no glyphosate in their bodies, but we're seeing that there are differences. The people who eat the most organic have only 25% the levels of glyphosate as those who eat the least organic. So they're taking steps to eliminate it from their diet, and they're achieving most of that. Even so, they still had some. Typically, they had some in their bodies, and when I interview them, they'll often try and scratch their heads. What's going on? Why do I still have it? I'm eating organic, and that should be zero glyphosate. And I'll say, yeah, but do you ever eat out at a friend's house, or do you go to a restaurant, a lunch place, a restaurant? And sometimes we'll identify it. Like one will go to the same restaurant three times a week, and I'll say, well, I can tell you, I'm certain that you got your glyphosate dose that we measured from that restaurant, because we've tested the foods from that restaurant and we've seen ultra high levels in some of their foods.
Do you is glyphosate accumulating in people's bodies exclusively from produce, or what about animals who are fed glyphosate laced feeds? Do they end up with it in their tissue?
We're finding a surprising source of glyphosate. We never really anticipated it. It's none of the above. It's not even from genetically modified crops that were engineered to resist glyphosate. You know, the soys and the corns of the world that are resistant. It's highest in oats and beans.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a specific reason, and hopefully this is news. I'm not repeating what others have shared. But
no, because we know about wheat, because they use glyphosate to synchronize the crop. So they literally spray it before they harvest it. But beans, I never thought of. And oats are supposed to be so good because they don't have any, gluten in them. And gluten? So, mm-hmm. That's surprising to me.
You're on the right path, though. It is the same thing. It's the herbicide that's meant to kill weeds is actually used to kill the food crop before harvest. It's, to me, was the most shocking thing I've learned about agriculture in a long time. I mean, why would you kill your food crop? After I discussed it with some farmers, I understood it better. It's the same reason that you wouldn't go out and cut your lawn right after a rainstorm, right? You don't want to gum up your lawnmower with wet grass. So the farmer sprays the crop where there's green patches in the field. Let's say there's some brown wheat, and then there's some that's still green, not quite finished ripening and dried out. Right. They spray it, and it dries out the whole field.
Right.
It's called desiccation.
Right.
Well, from an industrial efficiency perspective, that kind of makes sense. But from perspective of, do we want to deliver a maximum dose of herbicide to the customer, it doesn't make sense, because spraying right before harvest virtually guarantees a maximum dose.
Wow. You know what? I'm speechless, because I'm still comprehending the bean thing. Like, I don't eat beans. I don't like beans per se for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah,
but I have a lot of friends who eat a lot of beans because that's their source of quote unquote protein. They always tell me I'm going to have a heart attack because I eat 2.5 pounds of beef a day. But it's like, wow, beans and even oats. I know Elisa at home buys organic oats, but I bet you there's some glyphosate in those as well.
Good news on that one. I haven't seen it in organic oats. We've tested some samples.
Okay.
And that's where you can really draw a clean, bright line between the stuff with glyphosate and without. There are a lot of good options out there. But it is true. And let's think about beans for a second. If you like hummus, right, that's made with chickpeas. That's a type of bean or legume. And then you got the black beans, pinto beans, peas, apparently even. Same thing, that they're sprayed sometimes before harvest. And that's what's delivering this maximum dose. But then there's some other things, too. If you like a craft beer, let's say you're drinking a beer made with barley, one of these premium beers that often they taste really much better, but they use single-source grains like all whole wheat or all rye or all barley, and instead of, say, rice, which is a staple of the conventional beers like Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a higher dose of glyphosate from the craft brew than from a Budweiser.
Damn. Oh, man. What about wine, right? So, you know, do they use glyphosate on grape vines?
That's a powerful question people have asked before. The answer is no, you would kill the grape and the vine.
Good.
But let's explore it a little further. There are secondary effects. So we've tested dozens of bottles of wine, and we found a number of brands were positive for glyphosate up to 30 parts per billion. The reason we had to think about it, the reason is weeds around the grapevines are suppressed with the glyphosate, and then it ends up being taken up by the roots and making it all the way into the grape.
So do they spray the field before? No, because the grapevines are always there. So when exactly do they spray the fields to kill the weeds then? Or do they just spot spray? They just get...
Spot spray. Anytime. Mm-hmm. Same thing with coffee. We a lot of people drink coffee. We were curious to know, since it's such a popular item, does that have glyphosate? The good news is it's one of the lowest. We tested it and found maybe one part per billion, which is on the very low end of the range of foods. Mm-hmm. Foods range between about 1 and 3,000 parts per billion. Okay, so one is near the bottom. Coffee had a very low amount, and that's because they were suppressing weeds around the trees, not spraying the trees directly, and there wasn't as much uptake in that particular plant.
But think about this for a second, Larry. That there is some amount of glyphosate in just about everything on the planet now as a result of its widespread use and release on the planet.
Yes, we even measured it in rain in Iowa.
Holy mackerel.
And Carl, that could explain why even some organic foods have a little bit of glyphosate.
Right, that's what I was just thinking.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you mm-hmm. can't keep the rain off of them, right? Yeah. Oh, man, but, you know what? I'm back. I am just, my head is going to explode because I'm so, you know, it's not like I'm afraid of glyphosate, but I'm so conscious of trying to keep it out of me. Because I know the potential harm it can do, regardless of what theory you subscribe to, that it's harmful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then there's the fourth theory, that no amount of chemicals is really good to consume on a long-term basis, mm-hmm. period, end of story. But it's like, how do you get out of its way? So how are the people testing so far? What are you seeing so far? Any trends in the group that you've already tested?
Yeah, a couple things I want to share with you. First of all, if you're trying to minimize your exposure to these kind of chemicals, it is not hopeless. We've noticed that 14% of the people we tested had no detectable levels. 14%, so 1 in 7. Those are people who are actively trying to manage their exposure, and they're achieving it. And then when they get the test result and they see that they had no detectable level, they go, aha, my lifestyle is working. My choices are working. So that's been the most positive outcome of the study. In terms of the exposure, then, of course, the other 86% do have detectable levels. So the majority do have levels, even many who are trying to manage what's coming into their bodies.
Well, we have to take a break. I have questions, lots of questions. Okay, this is exciting. And then we're going to tell you how you can become part of this study. And I'm telling you, everybody in this audience needs to do this. Because not knowing may be more harmful than knowing, because you can change the things that you're doing to keep glyphosate out of you and your children. It's really important, folks. I'm telling you. Stay tuned.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
I want to thank Lynn Wright for bringing this glyphosate study to my attention. She recently got tested, and while she didn't say anything about her results, she did say to me that she eats 80 to 100% organic, but potentially could be exposed to glyphosate in her nightly glass of wine, which she is committed to going organic with. And in fact, I don't really drink wine much anymore. But Elisa does, and we buy an organic wine called Bonterra. I don't know if it matters, to tell you the truth. I hope it does, but what about meat? Do we have to worry about glyphosate exposure from things like beef and chicken and pork?
Carl, we've seen very little glyphosate in any of those foods, and my guess is that it has to do with the way that the body excretes it. Almost 99% or so comes out with waste, right? With urine, for example. Now, that leaves open the question, what happens to the other 1%, right? Is it accumulating in the body? But the bulk of it's coming out within a few days of exposure. Now, that might put everybody's mind at ease, and you'd say, well, if it just comes out, then does it matter? And I'll say to people, well, let's think about this. What happens if somebody puts cocaine in their body and it's detected in the urine? Does it have an effect chemically or neurochemically as it's going through?
Well, heck, 99% of cigarette smoke comes out when you exhale, but it still kills you.
Yeah. So in other words, chemicals can be exposed to chemicals that pass through your body, but they have an effect while they're going through, especially if you're exposed chronically, day in and day out for years and years. And that's what the entire human population has been facing for the last couple decades when it comes to glyphosate.
I'm actually doing the Vince Gironda diet right now. I don't know if you know who Vince Gironda was, but he was one of the early fathers of physical culture out in California when Jack LaLanne was out there. Mm-hmm. And it's a 19-week steak and eggs diet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what about eggs? Do eggs seem to accumulate?
We haven't seen it in the samples we've tested. I've seen one or two tests where people saw positives, but in general, I think it's like meat and milk. Most of it's passing through, and again, it's the big sources are going to be these grains and other crops that are treated right before harvest.
I know you
greens
probably
and beans.
I that's amazing. I know you really probably don't care about the or not that you don't care, but you don't have a dog in the fight about what it's actually doing. You just want to discover how many people actually have it in their bodies. But what do you think about this idea of consuming basically low levels of antibiotics day in and day out, and what it could potentially do to the gut and the immune system over time?
I think that the science is now really firmly established that the microbial population in our bodies is affected by low-level exposures, what they call subtherapeutic exposures to antibiotics. And then your explanation earlier that if glyphosate's acting as an antibiotic, it could have the same effect makes a lot of sense to me.
So talk about the study now. How long has the study been going on? And we're going to tell people how they can join in.
Sure. We started it in October 2016, so about a year and a half. 1,400 people have been tested. Only about 900 have taken the time to fill out the survey. So we're still looking for more people who will both test themselves and fill out the survey.
Okay.
The one thing I want to explain is that people who participate benefit twice. They get their own personalized test report on the glyphosate level and the AMPA level, that metabolite, in their bodies. And then we promise to send them the peer review. We send updates, and then we'll send the peer reviewed study once we get enough participants.
How many participants is enough?
We're going to try to go to publication after 1,000. So literally 100 more who fill out the survey would get us to that initial goal that we could do a preliminary publication.
Oh man, my audience can do that. Come on, Lisa and I are going to do it, and we're going to have you back on the show to discuss my results. And there's 100 people in this audience that'll fill out the survey and do the test. Come on. We got to be able to push this over. I want to see the research.
Well, that'd be great. I'd be happy to share it with you. In fact, in the next few minutes, I'm going to share some of the preliminary results that actually have never been made public before. So let's talk
about
those.
Yeah, let's do that. Well,
I do also want to give a heads up. One of the ways we maintain independence is that we run the study in a novel way. It's a citizen science study where we ask each participant to pick up the cost of their individual test. And that way we don't have to go to one place and ask for a grant where they might want a specific result from the study. We maximize the independence of the study by spreading the cost over 1,000 people.
Yeah, and it's $99, and it's worth $99 to know whether or not what you are doing to avoid glyphosate is actually working. I mean, this is, you know, something that's always baffled me. People will go out and buy DHEA capsules because they read an article in Life Extension magazine. They'll just start pounding down DHEA capsules, but never do blood work to see if they're actually needing DHEA. They just start taking it.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, people look at testing as not necessary if they just start supplementing or just start doing the things that are designed to change the outcome of what it is that they're targeting. But that's not true. Your lifestyle may be working. You may be doing everything right. Or you could be spending tons of money thinking you're doing everything right, and you're still being exposed to this really, in my humble opinion, harmful chemical that's going to be on this planet for a long time. It's so myopic not to test for things because you're basically shooting in the dark. You just don't know. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. So, you know, I'm a huge proponent of testing. I love to test to understand where I am. And then if I supplement, I want to test again to see where I went. And so, and I got to believe that the people in my audience feel the same way. Those of you who've been with the show for years know. $99 to find out if you and your family, and quite frankly, now I know you're not, this study is just for humans, right? But
yes, but we had enough people call and ask if we could test their dogs.
Yes.
We've now started an animal study.
There you go. And you know who I got to introduce you to? Rodney Habib. Do you know who Rodney Habib is?
No, never met.
Planet Pause. I'm going to connect you with Rodney. He's got a huge following. He's the guy who's really broken the news on how bad pet food is for dogs. And he's been traveling around the world now teaching veterinarians. But the other thing is, if you are like my good friend Joey, who lives up near the Adirondack Mountains, and you have a well that you get water from. You guys can actually test the water to see if there's glyphosate in it, right?
We can do that. Generally, I recommend if people are going to try a test, do your body first, because, for instance, if you come out not detect, you don't even have to worry about that well. You've
right.
covered all your bases.
Right. That makes perfect sense. That
yeah, and we see we're not in it for the money. I'm not going to try to sell somebody two tests when they only need one.
Right.
And as a nonprofit, we also don't even mark them up. We actually subsidize the test. It costs us $114 to run it, but we receive some donations from individuals beyond the actual tests that were done, and that helps keep the price down.
So I'm going to give you the URL, and then we're going to talk about the some of the research that you're going to share
sure.
with us. So the URL is hyphenated. It's health-research-institute.net/glyphosate. And also, this will be on the Superhuman Radio Network wall right after the show today. So you could just go to, if you are a friend of the show, go to my Superhuman Radio Network wall, and I'll put it on my personal wall too, and click it, and it'll take you right to it. Because I really feel strongly that we need this data, because I kind of feel like once we have this data, can't we push back on the widespread use of glyphosate?
I think the pushback is already happening. We've heard some insider stories through food industry contacts that some companies are starting to shop for oats. These are branded food companies. They're shopping for oats that were not sprayed with glyphosate before harvest.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, and folks, this is why we don't need government intervention. Because if you vote with your dollars, you will get what you want anyway. Because food companies are not going to put stuff on the shelves that is not going to sell. As soon as they get wind that people may be – look at high fructose corn syrup. While they renamed it, and it's still in some things, but once the public didn't want high fructose corn syrup, everybody scurried to find ways to get it out of their foods. And as people start to become aware that they don't want glyphosate in their body, the food manufacturers are going to change. They're going to go, hey, we got to get that stuff out. We won't sell any Pop-Tarts anymore. So this is a perfect example of voting with your dollars, but you've got to know first. You've got to know whether or not you have been exposed to it. It's in your body. And also, we need that data to show. I mean, did you see the study from Germany about the breast milk and glyphosate?
I've seen some figures on breast milk, and it leads us to want to do some testing ourselves.
I mean, that to me, there's something almost sacrilegious about contaminating breast milk and feeding it to an unknowing baby. And there's glyphosate, and the study from Germany was a study that was done somewhere in an inner city, very, very far away from the agricultural areas purposefully. And
right.
It was some ridiculous number, like 80 or 85% of the breast milk tested had significant traces of glyphosate in it, like not one part per million type stuff. And
right.
That's scary to me, because that means this poor baby whose immune system is still forming, whose microbial diversity is still being seeded, is being assaulted at the same time.
You remind me, it's even more recent research, just March of this year, came out in the U.S. showing shorter pregnancy terms and lower birth weights of children whose mothers were exposed to glyphosate during the pregnancy.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, we got a lot of education to do, and then you've got people making those individual decisions that collectively lead to changes in agricultural systems. So one product at a time, I think, and one test at a time. We have another very affirmative outcome is sometimes people, they test themselves and they get really high levels. One fellow in Canada had over 30 parts per billion, which is one of the highest levels I've ever seen. And we had a discussion afterward and figured out it was some beans he was buying specifically because they were known to be good for your health, but they were conventional. He changed his diet, took that out of his diet, and 4 weeks later he retested. Basically, he did a dietary intervention study on himself, a study of one, and he dropped his level 95% in 4 weeks.
Well, that's promising. This is exciting because it gives you control
It gives you control. I love it.
Let's take one last commercial break, and when we come back, you'll share some of the information that you haven't shared anywhere else, okay?
You bet.
Mm-hmm. All right, sit tight. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but 6 of their top sellers. That's right, 6 different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products to dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking to Larry Bolin from Health Research Institute about their glyphosate study that you can participate in by going to health-research-institute.net/glyphosate. It will cost you $99. It's well worth it to know whether or not you have been exposed and what foods. You'll actually be able to determine which foods are causing the exposure and get them out of your diet. And you do want to take the survey. I want everybody in my audience to take the survey, please, so we can finish this research and get it published. So tell me some of the exciting things that you've learned already.
Let's start with a positive one. A lot of people think that you get exposed from the environment. Like if you work on a farm or you like to golf or you like to go to a state park, the study's showing that none of those things affect your levels like food. Mm-hmm. That's why we've been talking about food almost the whole discussion, because food is the number one source of glyphosate exposure. So that good news is, don't worry about going out to a park. Don't worry if you golf and they're putting pesticides out there. You're not getting exposed to glyphosate that way. If you even use it a little bit, say, to kill weeds along your sidewalk, I don't do it, but some people do. You put gloves on and avoid skin contact, and you'll keep your levels lower. If you don't, you're going to have higher levels. There are studies that show it passes through the skin because people who don't use the protective covering have higher levels. And their study has borne that out. People who use Roundup have almost double the levels of people who do not. Hmm. So these are interesting lifestyle factors. We want to look at food. We want to look at water. We want to look at lifestyle. So that's the the issue with lifestyle. Let's look at water. Water is interesting. We've tested a couple hundred samples of water, and only about 5% had glyphosate in it. Well, that's encouraging. You know, if I'm thirsty and I'm out and I don't have access to the clean water from the well where I live, I'm not too worried if I drink, say, some municipal water at a restaurant or something. That's good, right? It puts my mind at ease. I don't have to worry about glyphosate there. If the few times we detected it, it was in the parts per trillion. We can detect down to 7 parts per trillion. So if it's there, we're going to find it. Same thing goes for the urine samples. Let's move on to food. Food is the one that's the most fraught with challenges because you sometimes don't know where it's coming from. We talked about that practice of drying down. So a lot of people think that non-GMO is going to reduce their glyphosate levels. What we found through the study is that it's counterintuitive. A lot of non-GMO products like oats, we talked about oats, beans, those are non-GMO, but they had the highest levels of glyphosate. So we have to think a little bit differently about foods. It's not enough to find that label, that particular label, non-GMO. On the other hand, the organic label almost guarantees no or low glyphosate levels. So that's a pretty reliable one if you're going to try to minimize. The study has borne that out. We could talk a little bit about a few other categories then. Just to drive the point home, the people who ate conventional oats had double the glyphosate levels than those who didn't eat any or who ate organic oats. And that, for me, that's my number one. I won't eat a granola bar. I won't eat an oat cookie. I won't eat an oat muffin. I won't even eat a piece of bread with oats on the top of it, because even the little bit of oats on the top of a piece of bread would spike my levels that day. Right. It's that high. A couple other interesting stats, and tell me if I'm going too fast, by the way.
No, please.
Oh, okay. So one thing that stood out, men have glyphosate in higher proportion to women. We're not quite sure why. But
testosterone. There's studies out there that show that testosterone causes retention of toxins in men at a higher degree than women. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Could be because they had more frequently and higher levels than women. On the other hand, the levels, the average level for the 1,400 people tested so far was half a part per billion.
Wow.
That's half a nanogram per milliliter of the urine. It's a tiny number. But we know that things like estrogen and other hormones affect the body at those subpart per billion levels. So if anyone says, half a part per billion, how could that be an issue? All you have to say is, would you want to put half a part per billion of estrogen in your body as you're trying to sculpt your body? And right, it's probably not something you would do. A counterintuitive one, we found that people who ate the most fruits and vegetables had the least glyphosate.
Interesting.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. I'd have to think hard about that. You know, the problem with some of these dietary questions is there's other things in the diet and we're focusing on. You know, epidemiology gets this wrong all the time. So, you know, what else are they eating besides fruits and vegetables? So, you know, they in my humble opinion, higher fat intake would probably lead to less stored glyphosate because fat is a transporter, and it's where, you know, a lot of these toxins, when they do get stored, they get stored in fat cells. A lot of these, especially these endocrine disrupting type toxins.
That's right.
So if you have enough fat in your diet, it can ride the train out, so to speak. If you don't have enough fat in your diet, it's going to find fat in your body to get stored in.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Got to look at the whole diet. If they say eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, you got to say, okay, and what else do you eat? And then you go, you know, this makes sense.
And Carl, exactly. That's why these are preliminary results. We're going to look at secondary effects, like the fact that people who eat the most fruits and vegetables probably are eating more organically, or they're eating less grains.
Now, I want to throw something else at you just for a second. Let's just stay with the fructose idea for a second. So we know fructose is stored in the liver as a long chain triglyceride, primarily after it's digested. In fact, high fructose intake can lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that the higher fructose intake, not crazy, is causing a greater degree of hepatic fat
And that fat is then capturing the glyphosate and allowing it to be expelled out. It's just, I'm just kind of spitballing here. That's all. You know, okay. Trying to look for a pathway.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's interesting you brought that up because research that came out in the last 12 months showed a correlation between glyphosate exposure and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. And it, for me, it's kind of alarming. It could be the explanation for this nationwide epidemic of fatty liver
and
disease.
AFLD,
it cannot
yeah.
be explained. It cannot yeah. be explained by obesity. It's not that alone.
Yeah.
That's interesting here. If you're looking for a superhuman body, what are you going to do? You can control your inputs. You want all the best ingredients that promote health, and then you're going to want to avoid the ingredients in your lifestyle or diet that harm health. So I don't want to put something in my body that blocks my liver's ability to filter toxins, and that's what fatty liver disease does.
Right.
It kills off part of the liver. Now you're not able to filter out the harmful stuff.
Right.
That seemed like something we really got to watch. I think we might not have much time left, so I wanted to highlight a couple foods that were really high that we didn't mention and a couple that were really low that are a part of this overall
sure.
study. How's that
sure.
sound?
Yeah, let's do it.
Green tea is known for super high antioxidants. It's beneficial to health, but non-organic green tea has some of the highest glyphosate levels. So, and that would be iced tea, too, that you might be looking at, green or black tea. So I share that with people. Another one that surprised us was blueberries. I'm not sure why, but they came out pretty high. That would be the non-organic variety. Non-organic honey often has really high levels. Those bees are concentrating the glyphosate as they
right.
source the pollen from the crops treated with it.
Right.
And, of course, things like Cheerios made with oats have a high level. Shifting to the low level, one of the things people love to hear the most is we've tested dozens of whiskey samples. Not a single one came out with any glyphosate that was detectable.
Interesting.
Even though they're made with grain, it must be the distillation process that somehow removes the glyphosate. And so if you want to drink a shot or two, you're not going to be increasing your glyphosate level.
Okay.
Chocolate, same thing, very low.
Just with the whiskey for a second. Is mm-hmm. it possible that there are metabolites that are being created, so you're testing for glyphosate, but something else is in there because it metabolized through maybe hydrolysis or exposure to the alcohol or the fermentation process or anything like that?
Possible, but we also didn't see any AMPA in okay. the whiskey sample. So that is the primary metabolite. And usually if something's metabolizing, there's still a little remnant of the either parent compound or some of the primary metabolite.
Okay.
So I'm feeling okay about the whiskey. And
yeah.
I'll take a shot myself now and then.
Okay. Chocolate. That's a big one. People love chocolate.
Yeah. And, you know, dark chocolate, the people sing the praises of that. Benefits for health, antioxidants, mood-boosting chemicals, all those great compounds. Good news is we are not seeing significant levels of glyphosate either.
Anything else?
Apples came out low, olive oil.
Oh, good.
All looking good. And we talked about dairy and eggs coming out. And since you know, that also means potentially whey protein, right?
A milk
constituent, which I think that's a part of a lot of these energy powders, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So whey probably doesn't have any demonstrable level of glyphosate. That may be of interest to your listeners, too.
Very good. Yes. That makes mm-hmm. me feel very, very good.
Okay.
All right. So Elisa and I, our kits have been ordered. We will test, and then when we get our tests back, we'll have you back on so we can discuss it. And I hope to hear from a lot of my listeners telling me that they ordered their test, and they'll be part of this as well. This is important. We can actually take action and be part of this, but more importantly, know where we stand with our own glyphosate levels. Thank you so much for doing this, by the way.
Thank you, Carl, for sharing this important information with everyone.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll see, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All right, sounds good.
Take care, Larry. All right, so that's actually all we have today. Thank you to Dr. Jeff Galini for the first portion of the interview. Of course, check him out. Go to superhumanradio.net, click the EFX banner ad, and get your free product today because you deserve it. And don't forget, it's health-research-institute.net/glyphosate, GLYPHOSATE. Order your kit, take the survey, be part of the movement, and we'll learn together. See everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.